in Exodus 12, 1 through 13. This is a very familiar passage. It is the passage of the Passover, when the Passover actually becomes institutionalized. It's when it is set in motion. And as we think of the Lord's Supper, it is somewhat of a form of the Passover, but it is not the same thing. There is a big difference in the Lord's Supper and the Passover. And we'll see some of that today, but we'll also get to look at the similarity of this supper, the Passover, and the Lord's Supper. And here in chapter 12, the book of Exodus, verses 1 through 13, verse 1 begins this way. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of your months, and shall be the first month of the year to you. And if the household..." Speak, it says in verse 3, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head and its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This is God's holy word. Pray with me. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And God, we thank you that you've given us the privilege to dine with you. God, you have blessed us beyond what we could ever understand. So God, we pray right now that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. And as we do, God, we pray that you are glorified and your Son is magnified. And God, we pray that if there's any today that doesn't have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, that today they would call out and say, "What must I do to be saved?" God, we know you're faithful. We know you're just to forgive us of our sins when we confess our sins to you. So God, we're going to look to you. We're going to trust you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look today at this passage of Scripture, what we see in this passage is very specific instructions that's given for preparing this Passover meal. They were to kill a lamb, or sheep, or goat. They were to put the blood of the animal on the doorpost and the lintel above. They were to roast the animal with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. and they were to eat all the meat. Now what's striking is if you look in verse 11, what you find is the meal, how it's supposed to be eaten. It's supposed to be eaten with them fully dressed, with shoes on their feet, and a staff in their hand. The Bible says they are to eat in haste. Now, we don't like fast food, do we? Yeah, we like fast food. That's why they're still in business. Now, I don't know how well you like it in Fairmont, because there's only one fast food restaurant in Fairmont. There used to be two. I remember when there were two. But there's only one now. So that tells me that there wasn't enough demand for two of them to be here. But every time we eat fast food, it's not all bad for us. Here, they're eating food fast. The Bible says they were to eat it in haste. They were to eat it prepared to move. God was fixing to do something. And they needed to understand that when they eat this meal, they need to be prepared for God to do something. So what is it that God's going to do? Well, He wants us to see here that the Passover was more than just a meal. Now, it being more than a meal, what we find is that it's a call to salvation. Now, in verses 12 through 13, what we see is that it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Here what we find is that this Passover meal was not just any kind of meal, but it was actually a call to salvation. So we have to ask the question, if it's a call to salvation, why Israel? Why was it that God spared Israel? Why did they receive salvation? It sure wasn't because Israel deserved salvation and the Egyptians didn't. That wasn't the reason. But God made it awfully clear here in this passage where He says, "Where I see the blood," He gives them instructions to obey. And those instructions was to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. And it was by faith that then placing the blood of the sacrificed animal on the lintel and on the doorpost, it was because of this obedience that the death would pass by them, that they would not receive death and judgment as the Egyptians would. You know, the truth is this, any Israelite, any of them part of the family of Israel that refused to obey God's command was going to suffer death in their family. Their firstborn, whether it's animal or whether it's man, they were going to die. And also any Egyptian who would have by faith obeyed what God's instructions were, that they would have put the blood on the doorpost or on the lintel, they would have been spared. The salvation was not because of who they were. The salvation was because the blood had been applied. Do you understand that in your life? That the salvation that you've received is not because of who you are, but it's because of the blood that's been applied. This communion service that we're about to observe is more than just something we do. It's a reminder to us that God has provided the ultimate sacrifice. His very Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He left heaven and He came to this earth. And while on earth, He lived a perfect and a holy life. And He was sinless. He died for our sins. He was perfect. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb. His body and blood was given on Calvary's cross for you and for me. And when we by faith receive Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, His sacrificial blood is applied to our lives, and we're covered by His blood. We don't get right with God. He makes us right with Him by His grace through the blood of the sacrificial Lamb of Jesus Christ, and by our obedience to Him. Our faith in who we are, our faith in who He is and what He done, our faith, by the grace of God, we are saved today. It's got nothing to do with who we are or what family we were born in. It's got nothing to do with how often we read the Bible. It's got nothing to do with how righteous we feel we've lived in this life, because our righteousness is based on other people's righteousness, and other people's righteousness is nothing. It's the same as our righteousness, and all our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Now, when we compare ourselves to Jesus, Jesus is the standard. And we get to see just how flawed we really are. It's by grace, through the blood of Jesus and our faith in Him, that we are who we are today. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't want you to feel beaten up, because who we are, those who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are the redeemed. We've been bought with a price. We are the children of God. And we can rejoice in that. But we have to acknowledge it's not because of who we are. He makes us right with Him. The Passover lamb was the call to salvation, or the Passover meal was a call to salvation, but it's also to be continued as a memorial. God commanded His people to celebrate the Passover meal as a yearly memorial. Verse 14, He says, So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. In other words, this should go on and on and on. It should continue on until God says it does. It's no longer to continue. And as a matter of fact, at the same time of the year today, the Israelites, they still are sacrificing an animal. They're still eating unleavened bread. They're still eating the bitter herbs. They continue to celebrate this meal. And they teach their children how God was faithful to their forefathers and how He delivered them from slavery. But for us who've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we've been instructed that we are to partake in the Lord's Supper. And as often as we do it in remembrance of Him. In 1 Corinthians 11, 24-25, the Bible says, "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We are to remember all that Jesus has done for us. He left the splendor of glory where the seraphim sang, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Day and night, He came to this earth in the likeness of men. He humbled Himself and He suffered and died for our sins. He paid the price that we owed, that we could not pay. He done this to set us free from the slavery of sin. Because we must remember, we must always remember what Jesus did for us. Teaching a class at the Baptist building Thursday night, some young preachers, and the topic of the night was on the Lord's Supper. Why do we do it? To remember Him. We don't do it because it's a form and fashion. We don't do it because it's something on the calendar. We don't do it because it's something the preacher said we do every month or every quarter or once a year or every week. We do it to remember Him. And He's done so much for us. He's done so much for us. We should remember Him. When we open our eyes, we should remember Him. Before we close our eyes, we should remember Him. As we go throughout breathing in this life, we should remember Him. And this supper is a reminder to us to remember Him. But it wasn't just continuing as a memorial. It wasn't just a call to salvation, but it was also the commencement of a nation. The meal marked the beginning of the nation of Israel. Before, they were the children of Israel. When they partook in this supper, they became a nation. They come on one accord, and they come touching and agreeing to be obedient to God. And this created in them a nation. The children of Israel were coming together by faith, and it distinguished them from everyone else in the land. And this meal was meant for this nation only. Now, the Bible tells us down in 43, in verse 43 of chapter 12, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it." It wasn't for you. It wasn't for me. It was for the nation of Israel. That's what it was for. In order to partake of the meal, you had to be born into the nation of Israel, or you had to be converted. And to be converted, all the males of the family would have to be circumcised. That's what distinguished them from everyone else. The males were circumcised. And because of that, any other family that wanted to join in with them, when they saw this God that they served was real, all the males of the family had to be circumcised. They had to adopt their laws and their practices. Well, today, in order to partake of this supper, the supper that's been prepared for us today, we must be born again. We've been born, if we're here today, we've been born of flesh and blood. We've been born in sin and we've been shaped in iniquity. But there's something has had to change in our lives if we want to sit at this table. God has had to come and take part in our lives. We must be born again. We're unworthy to take of this supper if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you haven't been born again, today would be a great day. It'd be a great day for you to be born again. It'd be a dangerous day for you to partake of this supper without knowing Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, I would hope and pray everyone here was able to take of this supper. But if you don't know Him, I beg you, leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's a dangerous thing to partake of it, not knowing Him. But we will, in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to know Him. It'd be a great day to get to know Jesus as your Savior. Because it's a day where we remember that Jesus left heaven for you. It's a day to remember that He lived a sinless life in complete obedience to His Father for you. It's a day to remember that He suffered and He shed His blood for you. He gave His life. And today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, all that's required of you is to acknowledge that you have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the grace of that is that God is commending His love toward us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And if you are willing to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because the Bible teaches us that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is acknowledging. I believe the children say, It's acknowledging who we are. We're lost and undone. Without Him, we are on our way to a demon's hell. It's acknowledging that God is God and besides Him there is no other. And He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to come to this earth, to live as we do, to be an example to us so that we would believe in Him. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we believe He died for our sins and God raised Him up on the third day. If we believe this, then the easy part is confessing it. Being willing to tell whosoever will, that Jesus is Lord. And if you believe this and you're willing to confess this, the Bible says that you're saved. But you've got to confess it. You've got to believe it. You've got to acknowledge that you need Jesus as your Savior.
Thank you for listening to the Reedy Branch Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope that this message inspires you to love the gospel, live the gospel, and share the gospel. May God richly bless you this day.